to the Xbox Game Passengers podcast. We're super excited today to bring you a very special episode. We just finished watching the Microsoft and Bethesda E3 2021 special. 90 minutes, action-packed, full of game announcements, full of surprises. It was all over the place. And I'm really, really happy to have my good friend John back again. It's been a while. It's been a while since we recorded a podcast together. We did this show exactly 2 years ago, and it was a blast. Thank you
for having me on. I think it's the first time since COVID that we've actually done a podcast together.
It has. I mean, this show disappeared for, I mean, COVID's not gone, but this show disappeared for much of the past year. And I was really happy to bring it back in any form a couple of months ago. And it's been great to do it again.
For sure.
How are you doing?
Well, good. Thanks for bringing me on. It was fun to get on board and watch that 90 minutes show. I can't wait to talk to you about it.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And we didn't like talk at all, you know, kind of like in the show itself. When we're playing a game, we come together for a discussion and, you know, we haven't talked about it at all before. So, you know, you're actually in a couple months, you're going to be on the actual show as well. We're going to be talking about Titanfall 2, which I'm super stoked about. Was it good? Was it not? I don't know. We haven't talked about it yet, but, I'm really excited for that conversation. But this was a really interesting show, and E3 kind of kicked off yesterday. We had shows from, it started kind of on Friday with some smaller companies, but yesterday we had Ubisoft. Yesterday we had Gearbox. Both of those, I think, left a little bit to be desired, and I'm sure we're going to talk about them on I'm sure we're going to talk about them on Geekscape Games in just a few days. We're going to do a whole E3 recap breakdown thing, but today it's all about Xbox and it's all about Bethesda. And before we really jump into it and what the announcements were and all that sort of stuff, what were your overall thoughts on the show itself?
Overall, I think it was really good. I think it was a bit of a the first time that we're seeing some of the fruits of Xbox's, you know, investment in game development.
Sure.
I think it's no secret that in the past, game selection and how much they have available in terms of exclusivity has been a weak point. And I think, you know, we know over the last couple of years that they've obviously acquired a lot of studios, but we didn't really see a lot of what that would look like. And I think this is the first time we're getting a picture of some of the benefits of them investing so heavily into development. It, you know, as the 90 minutes ramped on, we just saw more and more quote unquote exclusive content coming.
Totally. Yeah. And some of it was timed exclusive for sure. But they kind of kicked off and they said that they were going to be showing off 30 titles this morning. And 27 of those titles were actually revealed for Game Pass on day one as well, which is freaking huge.
Yeah. And I think, you know, you see kind of their investment in development. But my other takeaway from this is if you don't have Game Pass already, then,
you're an idiot.
Yeah. Like that was clearly this underlying tone throughout the whole 90 minutes was that, you know, because I think it was 30 games, 27 of which are free to play on Game Pass. Mm-hmm. So from, you know, that perspective, it's like there's more value in Game Pass than ever before by a huge amount. And I think, you know, you mentioned we did a show similar to this 2 years ago and we thought that at the time, but looking back, like this is so much bigger than that. So much more, you know, first release titles coming to Game Pass than what was occurring.
Well, and some third party, you know, we've got a couple of big third party titles day one on Game Pass in the past few months, stuff like Outriders and stuff like that. But even games that were revealed on this show to be exclusive to Game Pass, or not exclusive to Game Pass, but on Game Pass day one, you know, stuff from Warner Brothers with Back 4 Blood. We also saw Stalker 2, which is a timed exclusive for the Xbox platform, but will also launch on Game Pass on day one when it comes out as well. Like huge third-party games like that, which I would be buying for sure had they not been on Game Pass, but now I'm saving money because of course I'm a subscriber. So exactly. Just super 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 cool announcements.
Well, and you and I have talked about, you know, the PS5 versus Series X debate right now, and there's definitely advantages in both camps, but when you look at value, you know, and it's only reinforced today that the best value right now is for sure in the Xbox platform with Game Pass, because you just, you know, you can buy the console. In fact, there's a way of getting the console without even paying much up front. And you get this massive library of games.
Well, which is just All Access, which is available in a bunch of countries, but also Canada, which is rare for stuff like this. I think it's what, like, for a Series X, I think it was $40 a month. No down payment. Or is that, is it less than that?
30 to 40. It might be 30.
And it comes with the Game Pass, comes with the console. After like the 2 year period, the console's yours. Like, you're not renting it or leasing it or anything like that. Like, it's a super low monthly cost way to get into, you know, that's barely more than what the subscription would cost you alone.
Exactly. And I, again, just back on the overview of today, it just really drove home how hard Microsoft is pushing Game Pass as kind of their main revenue driver.
Totally.
So even beyond the consoles, really.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Well, and it's been revealed recently. It always seems to be the case at the start, but during the Apple Epic trial, like, a bunch of documents came out and were leaked to the public and that sort of stuff. And whoever Microsoft's representative in this trial was basically stated that they've never made money on hardware. So, you know, I think it's always been speculation.
Which is really surprising.
It is super surprising. I mean, there's always been the speculation that for a couple years they're losing money on hardware and then they make it up on games. But for the fact that, you know, Xbox turned 20 this year and they've never made money on hardware, apparently, is like crazy to me. And it also makes sense. I mean, that also drives further home why their kind of whole philosophy right now seems to be, we don't care what you play it on as long as you play it. And so, you know, whether you're playing these games on PC, whether you're playing them on an Xbox console, whether you're playing them, via Xbox cloud streaming, like, as long as you're playing them and as long as you give them your $15 a month or whatever, like, they don't care what you do, it seems like.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and it's the numbers game, right? I mean, $15 a month is almost $200 a year. And, you know, just like Netflix or any of the music subscription, that's probably more than a lot of people spend annually on purchasing games.
Yeah, so it seems crazy because I feel like prior to Game Pass, sorry to interrupt you, prior to Game Pass, it's June 13th as we record this. 2 days ago on Friday, I went to pick up my copy of Ratchet and Clank for PS5. After tax these days, like, a game in Canada is $100.
Yeah.
I almost forget that because I am so ingrained into Game Pass and so much of what I play is a Game Pass game that every time I buy a game, go to a store and buy a game, it's almost a little bit shocking. Because they are expensive. And so to be able to get a year of this service, this just sounds like an ad. I promise it's not.
I'm pretty sure we said the same thing. This sounds a lot like the last one we did of these.
Yeah, to get this service for a year with its, like, you know, I counted recently there and without all of these additions that they just did, there was more than 350 titles, including all the EA stuff on Game Pass. Mm-hmm. To get that for the cost of two games in a year is just literally mind blowing.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah. So that's the overall thought on the releases today. Curious to, you know, where you want to start. There's obviously 30 games. I don't think we're going to get to cover all of them, but there was some breakout moments for sure.
There definitely were. Yeah. A couple of things that I want to say first is I thought it was an excellent show. I thought that in the past, I've been kind of, they always show off a lot of good stuff, but in the past it's always been we brought this, we're revealing a cool new car that's a real car and we've got this car on the stage and everybody look at this car. And I could not care less about that shit and just want them to show off games. And from the moment this show started to the moment it ended, it was really just game after game after game after game. And
that's true.
You know, 30 titles shown over a 90-minute show, that's a new title every 3 minutes. So that's like perfect. And I didn't know what to expect because Friday, I think it was a couple days ago, you know, they kind of started doing like press for this E3 and they were talking about, they revealed that cloud streaming is coming to Xbox consoles later this year, which is super cool. So rather than having to download a lot of these Game Pass games first, you can play them while they're downloading, or you can just give them a try before you decide they're downloading. You know, we have super fast internet, so it doesn't feel like that's a crazy big deal for us. But for people that might have internet that's slower, or people that are unfortunately in spots that have a data cap, like, that could be huge before you're deciding, you know, to be able to play something for, you know, 20 minutes, an hour before you decide to drop 100 gigabytes on it.
I was just going to say, with the size of games these days, sometimes you have to clear out half your library and install
a game. Maybe you don't. Yeah, that's a great point that I didn't even think of. Maybe you don't have enough storage on your console and you just play the whole thing streaming. you know, that's a pretty cool idea as well. So stuff like revealing that before E3, before their presentation, but also revealing that, you know, they're working on a dedicated streaming stick for Xbox Cloud Gaming. No details, just said it, that they're working on it. Mm-hmm. But also that I think by the end of this year, the Xbox app will be coming to certain smart TVs. So you'll be able to stream from Game Pass directly to your TV without a console involved at all. Like those seem like pretty crazy. Big developments that in the past would be revealed, would be saved for a show like this, but they didn't have any time. It was so chock full of games, which is super cool. So,
did you notice that a lot of the games were specifically mentioned as coming to the cloud streaming service?
Totally. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That seems to be just as, you know, it doesn't seem like a tack on, like it seems like it's just as important to their platform and their philosophy now as any other aspect of it, which is really, really cool. You haven't had a chance to play
it. I haven't had a chance to try it on any service yet.
And it's okay so far for iOS users. I think it's, for most games, it's more latency than what I would really play with. Also, I work at home now, so I don't really have a lot of reason to utilize it, but I'm really excited for its future. The only other real thought that I had before we jump into the games itself, I miss the hell out of Mixer for shows like this.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, yes. Mixer, which I think it was sometime last year that Mixer was shut down. Mixer supported 4K for live streams like this and things like YouTube Premiere and Twitch. They only support 1080p. So last, you know, when we did this, the live show 2 years ago, and when watching it last, no, actually, I think last year Mixer would have been shut down already, but you know, it looked great and we were able to see everything in 4K, and it's so hard to like, it's not hard to get excited for, but it's so hard to like get a sense for these games visually when, you know, they're showing off like these, you know, we'll talk about in a bit, but the Forza Horizon 5 reveal where they're talking so much about, you know, the ray tracing and the weather effects and how amazing it looks. And it just looks like absolute garbage because they say it's 1080p 60, but it must be such a low bit rate that it's like, it's horrible to watch. Like,
yeah, I don't know. It was pretty brutal to watch the reveals and know that the frame rates and stuff weren't being reflected. And
totally,
even though it said 1080p 60 frames, it
was rough.
It was like 480, 20, yeah, 20 frames.
It was like Crave, you know, we're in Canada, so only Canadians will understand this, but it was like Crave TV level of 1080p for the most part. So that was really disappointing. I am looking forward to going back, you know, spending more of my day a little bit later watching some of these reveals in 4K as well, because I think some of them looked like they would be spectacular, but I miss Mixer, and I can't believe that YouTube Premiere doesn't have 4K support at this point. But
yeah, I mean, even if the stream at least was in the 1080 that it said it was, it would be
Totally. Yeah, there are a lot of good examples of good looking 1080p content on YouTube as well, and this was unfortunately not one of them. So Yeah, I mean, without further ado, what did you see that you liked? What are you most excited for? Let's just, you know, there's too many things to talk about. Let's talk about the things that really
there was so many games. Yeah. I mean, definitely for me, I think most excited was obviously the two big ones, which are Forza 5.
Looked yes.
Unreal.
Spectacular. Yeah.
Just, you
even
know.
Even super compressed. We're going to make that joke. Exactly. You know, every game we talk about, we're going to make that joke. But
So throughout the entire broadcast, I was kind of keeping an eye on what the chat group was saying as well.
Okay.
And you know, they were super every game was just like Forza. So obviously
well, and it was super rumored, like it was super rumored that it would be showing off. I feel like I didn't entirely expect it because Forza Horizon 4 doesn't feel that old.
No, but when you actually think about it, it's got to be 3 or 4 years,
right? Is it that long? Has it been that long?
I would think so. Yeah, I don't recall off the top of my head. Yeah. But either way, that looked amazing. I mean, it doesn't even look like a game anymore. No. It looks super, super cinematic. And then for me, obviously, Microsoft Flight Simulator, I'm pretty stoked on that. And they even announced an expansion.
A fucking so Top Gun expansion. What the heck?
Exactly. So that's pretty amazing.
Yeah. Why don't we start with Flight Simulator? Because I know that's the game you're so excited for Flight Simulator as a whole. And you must have put a lot of hours into Flight Simulator based on the fact that it's been out on PC for like almost a year now, right? Like you've played a lot of it.
No, I have yet to play any Flight Simulator. And you know that, so you're calling me out here on purpose. No, I haven't. Obviously, I don't have.
I feel like you're sending me Flight Simulator stuff all the time, though. So, like, how, you know?
Yeah. So I've watched hundreds of hours of Flight Simulator videos, and I'm pretty obsessed with them.
Yeah.
But I refuse to play it until I have the computer that can actually play it to the degree that I'm watching it being played at.
Mm-hmm.
So.
So you'd rather watch compressed YouTube videos.
I mean, they're usually 4K.
Okay. All right.
You know, I don't know if you recall, but we are in the middle of a pandemic and it's pretty difficult to get hardware right now.
Totally. So, yeah.
That's one limitation. Plus, again, the machine I want is probably going to be quite expensive. So,
yeah.
But, you know, the fact that it's going to be playable in really good quality on my new Series X machine, you know, yeah. So there,
will that change it for you? You'll play it on there.
Yeah. I was kind of hoping that they would have said something about, I mean, like you said, it was just basically game reveals and trailers. So
totally,
they didn't get specific.
They weren't digging super deep into anything.
Yeah, no. So obviously the question will be how they support accessories and things like that on the console versus the PC.
Do you think they will? There's no reason they couldn't, I guess.
I think they will, yeah. They have a pretty tight relationship with Honeycomb and the other major companies that make those accessories.
Okay.
And I think that they will. And on top of that, there's the whole aspect of there's accessories and then there's the add-ons. So whether or not they support those third party mods, basically,
because mm-hmm.
it's a pretty big market. The big planes and everything are all mods that you have to purchase in game.
Well, they're like pretty expensive, aren't they? Some of them?
They are. Yeah. So the top one right now is probably about $80
for one plane. For one plane.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
So they haven't really specified whether they're, you know, covering that sort of stuff. So
the trailer looked, I mean, I think it looked great. There's that joke again. They said it was captured in real time on Xbox Series X. Looks beautiful as expected, and it's dropping on July 27th, so just over a month, for the Xbox Series S and the Xbox Series X. And yeah, they revealed, like, after that they revealed a Top Gun expansion, so you saw, like,
yes,
whatever the plane from Top Gun is. And yeah,
what's exciting about that too is that they don't really have first party jets right now at all in the game.
Oh, really? Just what came in the game?
There's no jets designed by the main studio.
Okay,
at this point, so this would be the first party jet support.
Oh, okay,
there's some third party ones, but they're not.
Do you think
awesome.
Like you'll get a sweet soundtrack with the expansion as well?
Yeah, well, that would be awesome. Hey, when you take off, if you heard the sound, it was in the trailer, so we'll see. Yeah, I guess
definitely. Sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, I was just going to say that was the biggest, you know, I was the most excited at that part.
Definitely, yeah. I wonder what an expansion, like a themed expansion like this, I wonder what that really looks like. Like, do you think there'll be, I don't know, there aren't like missions in Flight Simulator or anything, are there? Like, did they add?
There's challenges.
So maybe they'll have like, I don't know. They'll have to, I think, there'll have to be some challenges or something like that kind of like feel Top Gun-y.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, if they have like carrier landings, I don't think that's supported right now. So
okay. Yeah.
They did show a carrier landing in the trailer.
Okay. Yeah.
So that would be new as well. I think what was exciting was to, you know, you've got this chat that's running alongside the broadcast, and most of the time it's just, you know, you can't even look at it because it's
incomprehensible.
Incomprehensible, but also annoying because everyone's just saying the word skip over and over again, because they're just destined to be disappointed. Mm-hmm. But what was cool was when Flight Simulator came on, there was a lot of positivity, and mm-hmm. I think that was kind of cool just because of the fact that when you think about stereotypical gaming, the Flight Simulator type game has always sort of been on the fringe in terms of what was considered cool, I guess.
Sure.
You know, when I played Flight Simulator 20 years ago, it was not the cool games to play.
Yeah.
Whereas now there was a lot of like best game ever, you know, there's just a really pretty big community excitement for that game, which is really, really exciting because I don't know, it's just a shift in what people value, I guess, in what they're playing.
Crazy.
I don't know, just thought that was interesting.
Yeah. It always seems like I'm looking, I mean, I remember playing like the original Flight Simulator, but I think it was because it was one of the only computer games that I had. And I just remember trying to like fly between buildings or like fly up as high as you could until like the plane stalled, and then seeing like how fast you could recover and stuff like that, and all the different planes, which I knew nothing about. Yeah, this is one of those things where I'm interested in. It looks freaking gorgeous, and I'm definitely interested in trying it. And mm-hmm. I just wonder for someone like me, what will keep someone, like, obviously you're very excited for it, but what keeps people playing a game like this? Yeah.
You know, and how someone like me, like, I'm trying to get my pilot's license. So obviously there's a procedural benefit to actually playing a game like that, in terms of just getting more comfortable with procedures and things like that, and trying scenarios that maybe you wouldn't want to feel, you know, wouldn't want to try in real life. But I think, especially, I mean, this is coming off Xbox, but, you know, when you look at a game like that in VR, and it's getting to the point now where when you're flying over a city like Paris, it's not 100% realistic, but it's so close that you probably, I say probably because I haven't got the machine to do it, but based on the hundreds of hours of videos I've watched, I think it provides a sense of exploration that is real, you know, like you're actually seeing a part of the world that would be impossible to see. And that's a feeling that you're not going to get in many games. You know what I mean? Like, and other games have different reasons to play. I'm just, you know, touching on what might draw someone to keep trying that game or keep playing it. The one thing with Flight Simulator is they do give you the ability to relax the complexity of it. You don't have to play on super realistic mode where every switch needs to be switched on in the right order to get anywhere. Sure. And and graphically, it's probably the best looking game out right now, really.
Right.
Although Horizon 5 is going to give that a run for its money.
Yeah. Yeah. Why don't we move on to Horizon 5?
Exactly.
Oh my God, it looks so good. So this one's set in Mexico. So the trailer starts off in like just these beautiful looking shots of like desert and like, you know, rain, like crazy weather effects. There's cars driving and just huge, huge like clouds of dust behind it. And everything looked spectacular. You know, they even like, this one was cool because you got like kind of a trailer, like hyping you up, showing some stuff. Really close release date. It's going to drop on November 9th, obviously on Game Pass. This one is across the Xbox Series consoles. It looked like it was also coming to Xbox One, but they did confirm that on the Xbox Series X, you're going to get ray tracing and everything there. Mm-hmm. So from what I saw, things like the reflections off like the roof of the car just looked like spectacular. It was pretty, pretty cool. This was one of the ones where I'd like turn to Mikhail and I'm like, I cannot wait to rewatch this in 4K because I bet this just looks amazing.
Well, like you said, what we were watching was pretty compressed. I can only imagine in 4K at 60 frames, it's going to look so good. I also call out to the massive amount of visibility to the Ford Bronco.
I wrote that down as well. I was like, I wonder if Ford like paid for that, because almost every the demo that they were doing, and even when they went a little bit deeper into the breakdown after, it was like almost always the Ford Bronco.
And I've been thinking about, well, I have a reservation in for that. It's a pretty cool car. I had the same thought though, is like, is this a Ford paid thing or is this Microsoft trying to, because obviously the Bronco has a lot of hype right now.
That's true.
It's probably the most hyped vehicle release possibly ever. Like there's just a massive amount of online.
And I guess usually they're focusing on like the supercars and stuff
exactly.
For these, or the super unique cars. So to have mostly focus on like a consumer vehicle is super interesting.
Yeah. So it's a interesting question to, I wonder who considers themselves benefiting the most from that. But yeah, it was cool to see it in there. And there was a couple different versions of it shown at different parts in the trailer. Some other new cool cars too, like the Range Rover Defender. There was definitely a little bit more of a focus on off-roading vehicles than I think.
Totally there was, yeah.
Yeah, you know, in the past.
I mean, Forza Horizon 4 had a huge like rally or dirt racing portion as well, but this was like most of what they showed. And I think it was like, I have to imagine they showed some city stuff too, but I have to imagine that like the in the desert, like all the rocks and how crazy like the ground looked and the like weather effects, like the dust and everything coming off the cars, like those were really meant to show visually just how amazing this game looked. They talked about in the breakdown that it's detailed to the point where they're rendering individual needles on all the cacti that are surrounding the game, which just sounds unbelievable.
Well, and
it looks close to real. Like some of the like just wide like yes. shots before the cars jump into it. And you see
well,
and
they
tags
said
and
they
stuff.
Were modeled after photogrammetry.
Yes, like real yeah, definitely
modeling. So
yeah,
and specifically in this Forza Horizon 5 trailer, but it was something I noted throughout the entire broadcast in the new games was just the amazing amount of particle detail in the air. Mm-hmm. Like there was just so much more density in terms of what was in the air in not just the Horizon trailer, but other ones. It really just stuck out to me as just an advancement in graphics. You know, like
yes.
The other game was one of the first ones we saw. It was the Stalker game.
Stalker
2 mm-hmm. Had just a massive amount of particle mapping and stuff in the air.
Yes, it did. Do you want to move on to that, or do you have more to talk about with Forza Horizon?
Yeah, we can. No, I mean it's a Horizon game. It looks real.
Yeah. Well, and
I think the one thing else I want to talk about with Horizon 5 was just the arcade mini games. Looked so yes. fun.
Well, and there's like a build your own yeah. version as well. Yeah.
Yeah, and it looked a little bit more dynamic in terms of like large groups playing together,
yeah,
on different play styles than just racing. So that
yeah, awesome. And then they talked about their like AI system where it'll try to like pair you with people. You know, if you really like the like Horizon mini games, it'll try to like pair you up with other people that do that. So it's like, you know, people that would generally be doing the same things will get to play together rather than like just you're in. Yeah, you know, I feel like I didn't jump into a lot of like the full-on multiplayer in Forza Horizon 4, but I feel like a lot of the times when I was like being invited to stuff, I was like, I don't want to do that. So it seems like they're trying mm-hmm. to like target that in this case. It looked kind of neat. It's one of those things where I'd probably, well, like racing is one thing because you're not like interacting with people really anyway, so I would race against other people, but like mini games and stuff I feel like are one of those things that I don't
exactly that's probably that's only kind two of people what I stuck know. Out to me
yeah
it stuck out as kind of a new dynamic in terms of the socialization and the type of games that might keep someone playing who's not
totally
as much into racing. There's a yeah. lot more I think coming around, you know, keeping you engaged in the world than what was there before.
Definitely, yeah. Well, and this was like, I think, the most visually impressive game that they showed off. I am super stoked to play it. And I think that, like, even just thinking, like, Forza Horizon 4, which doesn't, as far as I know, it doesn't have any enhancements for the Xbox Series X or the Xbox Series S. It looks insane. And so to be able to play this, like, with ray tracing and with the series enhancements that it's going to have, because it's launching natively on those consoles, is going to be crazy. And it's mm-hmm. like, this is one of those games. Michaela watched the whole presentation with me, and she commented almost on every game, like how cool they looked. But this was one of the ones where she was like, we can play that. And, you know, this is one of the reasons why I bought a second Xbox, because it like looks like there's so much variety that anyone could have fun doing it. It's like a racing game. So it's like, you know, like control wise and stuff, it'll probably be like fairly simple and going, you know, going back thinking my time on Forza Horizon 4, super easy to get into and really customizable as well. But yeah, she was hilarious, like her describing this, because she's like, look at all of the rays. And I feel like she has no idea what she's talking about, and she knows it. And it's just so funny, like hearing her talk about this stuff. But it looks, it looked amazing. I can't wait for it. Yes, Stalker 2, launching as an Xbox timed exclusive. It will be on Xbox Game Pass on day one, which is April 28th of next year, which is pretty cool. It looked super cool. I'd never played the first game. I think the first game was PC exclusive. This gave me really heavy, I don't know if you're familiar with the Metro series at all, but it gave me really heavy Metro Exodus vibes, which was like one of my favorite games the year that it came out. And this looked very similar to that, but in, you know, set in like Pripyat and in the Chernobyl area, which is like such a cool setting and such an interesting like area. So I'm super stoked for this.
Was phenomenal looking. I mean, the lighting and the, you know, again, touching on like the particle effects and
yes.
ray tracing just looked so good. The whole, it was a bit scary looking for me. I mean, you know,
I thought that.
Yeah, I have a bit of a reputation for not.
So when it launches on Game Pass, we'll get you in for a horror episode like we have been.
It was pretty scary and creepy looking at different moments, but it looked phenomenal.
Yeah. Well, and yeah, they showed, like, the trailer was really interesting because it had just like a bunch of people talking kind of around a campfire, and it seemed like they were kind of telling each other like stories, and then it would cut to like all of these different gameplay scenes, which looked super varied. But yeah, there was ones where it was like the enemies were only like visible at certain times and just kind of like flashing in and out of like the in and out of visibility. But yeah, it was definitely like, oh, this will be too spooky for John. it looked great though. They're targeting 4K with ray tracing. You know, have to imagine it'll be probably like a performance or a quality mode type thing that might turn ray tracing on or off. Games like this I'll struggle with, like games like, you know, I'm playing Ratchet and Clank right now, and it was a no-brainer to play it in like a 60 frames per second mode, which is at a reduced resolution, not super noticeable, like flipping back and forth. Like the frame rate is much, much, much more visible than the resolution change. Absolutely. But games like this where they like are so detailed and so like atmospheric, like I think I'll really struggle to choose whether, you know, if it has it, whether to play in like a 60 frames mode or like to get all of that eye candy with the ray tracing and everything like that. Like, it's going to be tough.
Yeah, no, for sure. What you asked me what games stuck out for me, obviously. Yeah. I'm just curious if there was anything else out of the 30 that was just like kind of a big moment for you or that you were extra wowed about.
Yeah, totally. Two big surprises came for me. One of them shouldn't have been a surprise because I remember them talking about working on a sequel, but they announced Asobo Studio, who's also, I think, the developer of Microsoft Flight Simulator.
Yes.
They announced a game called A Plague Tale Requiem. My notes here are, holy shit, I'm so excited. That was all I did. just a like cinematic trailer. A Plague Tale Innocence was a game that launched kind of under the radar in 2019. And then since then, and since joining Game Pass, I think it hit Game Pass last year sometime. It's gotten a lot of fanfare since then, but it's kind of this like super interesting narrative, like set during the plague. And so there's just like hundreds and hundreds of thousands, like it's like kind of like stealthy. There's some combat elements, but you're a lot of the time you're like trying to just avoid both people, but also there's like kind of puzzles that involve just these seas of like infected rats that'll just like eat you in like a second if you like, you know, they don't like the light, and so you got to like try to like throw torches and stuff to get around them. But the story and just like the visuals in that game were spectacular, and so that was actually like in 2019 when we were digging into our favorite games of the year. A Plague Tale Innocence was my favorite game that year. So to be getting a sequel, it's set to launch in 2022. It will be on Game Pass day one. I'm just beyond stoked, and I was very surprised, and I cannot wait to hear more about it. You didn't play the first one, did you?
No, I haven't.
It's because you never listen to my recommendations.
Yeah, that's definitely not the reason, but
that one was a big surprise. There was also this hilarious, I had no idea kind of what it was to start, but then once they revealed the title, it was so obvious. But there's kind of this humorous narrator, and he's talking about how trailers generally go, like there's cool slow motion shots to bolster pre-order numbers and big cool looking creatures that you never actually see in the game, and only the silhouette of the hero shows up since the design isn't finished yet. And it was just like super, super funny.
There's no gameplay because all they've managed to finish is the trailer.
Yes, yeah, exactly. Like calling all of these things out that are, you know, in trailer after trailer, but, you know, work because I get really hyped up for all of these things. But Outer Worlds 2 has been announced. So Outer Worlds,
exclusive.
I think. Yeah. And it's exclusive. Yeah. So that's a Obsidian game. The first one did drop on PlayStation and everything because Obsidian was acquired like really shortly before the release. This was a game actually that they announced at the last E3 that we did one of these episodes on. And I remember calling it out as one of the games I was really excited for. And I loved the game. You know, it felt like a kind of sillier Fallout set in kind of across these different planets. So it felt similar to Fallout or the, you know, older Obsidian games there. So to get a sequel and, you know, to have a sequel announced so soon, I think was really cool. I think it didn't do that well sales wise. I don't think so. I don't know that I expected a sequel at all. So the fact that we're getting one was a great announcement.
Yeah. And it looked great.
And it looked great.
At least in the cinematic trailer that they were
it did, yes.
Specifically yeah, no gameplay, referencing obviously. As a cinematic trailer without gameplay.
Yeah, yeah, it's confirmed as like a Series X exclusive though, so it will not be on the Xbox One console. And that's something I saw a bunch of as well, actually. Microsoft kind of revealed, at least for a couple of years, Microsoft Studios wouldn't be having any exclusive titles on the series consoles, and they would be trying to support the Xbox One as much as possible. I think Flight Simulator was an outlier on that because it's not coming to Xbox One, and it's, you know, the series consoles have been out for 6-7 months at this point. So, excuse me. I think that it just couldn't handle it. So that's probably it for that one. But we're starting to see these 2022 titles that do look exclusive for the Xbox Series consoles as well. Those were the two biggest surprises for me, I think. Aside from the fact that everything they showed off was coming to Game Pass almost.
Yeah, for sure. What was your thought around moving on to obviously the other staple game, Halo, and what they showed?
I thought you were going to talk about Slime Rancher 2. I thought that was the big one.
That was the other staple, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, sorry, what were you going to say?
I'm just curious what you thought of it. I mean, that was the multiplayer has been separated into its own free-to-play game.
Which I think is really smart because I think that, you know, I have to imagine that all of these, like, people have to understand the value of Xbox Game Pass. And, you know, why would you buy Halo Infinite or any other game that Microsoft's publishing for, you know, $80, $90 Canadian when you could just have this subscription and get it? And so to split off, you know, so I have to imagine that most people really will be playing it, quote unquote, for free anyways, because they're going to have it on Game Pass. So to both bolster the number of people that are playing the multiplayer, you know, something like that's I have to imagine they're going to have some sort of monetization with that, like some sort of battle pass, which battle passes are fun. I feel like I have no problem with battle passes. They've, you know, they always feel optional and you can earn stuff without them. But obviously earn more if you do them. You know, I've bought a couple for Warzone and Call of Duty Modern Warfare. And it definitely was like, you know, I think that the Modern Warfare, like season 2 battle pass was the first battle pass I ever purchased. And, you know, definitely like, I have a time limit on earning all of this content. I want to earn as much of it as I can. Like, it definitely got me playing when I potentially wouldn't otherwise. I think separating is cool because it gets more people into it. And again, most people are going to be playing it for free anyways.
I think my biggest takeaway from the Halo video was when they showed it before, there was a lot of negativity around the graphics quality.
Totally, yeah. It looks totally different.
But it looks totally different now. And I assume that was graphic, like game graphics. It looked
did
amazing.
Say it had like the thing at the bottom that all of it was captured in engine. So it looks
They've done a lot of work, obviously, around the level of graphics that they're delivering. And I think like what I noted specifically around that was just that, you know, these games are starting to be to the point where high value cinematics used to be. You know, we're just at this point now where the games just look like cinematic renderings.
Exactly.
Which, you know, growing up, we always said would be the case at some point. And especially when you look at the other titles we've talked about, Horizon and Flight Simulator and even Stalker 2, these games are just to the point now where they just look like renderings. It's crazy to me.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. Yeah. Well, and it's funny thinking about like E3s of the past when it was like, it'd be a big like controversy if it was revealed afterwards that like a trailer wasn't real or something like that. But the gaps between what was like real and what was cinematic then were so much bigger that like, how is it not more obvious then? Whereas now I feel like you could tell me any game was gameplay and I would believe it whether it was or not. Like,
yeah, exactly.
The stuff looks so good now.
I was going to say we have to be cognizant of the fact that what we're seeing might shift. I mean, there's been
100%. Yeah.
You know, big games that have obviously come out after their E3 reveals to not look anywhere near as good as the E3 reveal. Yeah. But as it stands,
Cyberpunk looked good.
the Halo graphics they've clearly worked extremely heavily totally. On yeah. improving that. Yeah. And they showed a lot more of the multiplayer than they did previous. And it looks, yes. it looked yeah. awesome.
And 100 up to 120 frames per second on the multiplayer yep. mode, which is pretty cool. I just got a TV that supports that and has HDMI 2.1. Now that's another like thing. I'm like, do I want to play things in 60 frames with better graphics or 120 frames mm-hmm. per second and super fast?
Yeah.
You know, I'm not that good of a player at anything, so it probably doesn't matter that much. But, you know, it's just another thing to decide. The multiplayer showcase video was great. It looked
so
I've never been like a huge Halo fan. I played a little bit of like mostly like Halo 3, like on the 360. Like my dad was pretty into Halo, so I played it when he wasn't hogging the Xbox at the time. But yeah, it looked super, the showcase video just looks so classic. And I got pretty hyped for it, even though I've not played a lot of this multiplayer before.
Well, and they pulled forward some, you know, sounds and stuff from the original games. And
loved it.
It like kind of brings your nostalgia.
Like, killing spree, you know? And like that sort of stuff. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. Fucking awesome. Loved it. Yeah, and it was the Halo Infinite trailer overall was just a reminder to myself that I really need to like finish and play through these games, because I was like, you know, I was like, oh my God, Cortana's gone. Cortana's been deleted. How did this happen? But then it seemed like it was a thing that probably happened before, like in another game. And I'm like, did she go evil? Like, explain this to me. And it's probably right. all there in games that I could play for free that I just haven't. So I apparently have about 6 months to get through these games, because no release date revealed, but they did reveal holiday season. And obviously it'll be on Game Pass as well. But there will be a multiplayer beta this summer though.
Yeah, no, it looked awesome.
Yeah, a lot of they're releasing a lot. Like one thing I loved as well that I forgot to mention earlier, like most of everything they showed was like later in 2021 and then a lot of 2022 stuff. So there wasn't a lot of like, you know, even looking back to like last year when they, you know, very quickly revealed with no other info, like things like Elder Scrolls 6 and things like the new Fable mm-hmm. and things like Avowed, like all of these like huge titles with like, you know, just a quick cinematic trailer and a title reveal that got everyone super, you know, exactly the things that the Outer Worlds 2 trailer called things yes. out on. There wasn't really any of that in this. Like they literally like after they're like, here, we are so excited about all the things we announced today, and we're working on a lot of other great stuff like Elder Scrolls 6, and like they just mentioned them in title but did not give them any time because they're so far away. Like everything basically
I was just gonna say that what it does do is it emphasizes that some of those big titles, Fable, Elder Scrolls 6 and stuff, we're probably not going to see till 2023
yeah for sure. But yeah, the fact that they didn't give them any time, I think, is great in this case, because like there were so many things to like pretty much every one of these games. I'm like, I would play that. This looks cool. Yeah. Even stuff that I like wouldn't typically, I don't know, like if I wouldn't typically do it, but obviously Game Pass just opens things up so much. You know, things like Psychonauts 2 looked really cool. There's that Annapurna title called 12 Minutes that stars Daisy Ridley.
Very cool.
Yeah, it stars Daisy Ridley, stars Willem Dafoe. They've been showing that off for a while, but finally it got a release date. It's coming this August. It's coming on Game Pass. It looks super, super cool. You know, the latest Yakuza game is on Game Pass as of right now. That weird looking Party Animals game, which looked, I don't know, it looked like it was just a trailer. They didn't talk about it. It didn't give it, like, there was no details, but it looks kind of like this Overcooked or Fall Guys, mm-hmm. which Fall Guys I spent some time with on PlayStation. It's super fun, just this silly, stupid like multiplayer. I don't know, it looked like a weird animal fighting game.
But
stuff that I probably wouldn't typically go for as well. Shredders, which was like a snowboarding game that looked again, not a lot of details on any of this stuff, but looked fun, looked quite pretty, looked like it was co-op centric. Atomic Hearts, which I have been stoked for some time. It kind of looks like a Soviet Russia set BioShock type combination, which I think was really cool. There was so much stuff. 15 player Among Us. I don't know 15 people, so I just kind of you know, I don't know if that works for me. But in the small, I've played Among Us a few times, and in the small like 6 or 7 player games I've played, I cannot imagine how hectic.
Yeah, it would change the dynamic.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Just a couple other like exclusives that they announced, one they finished with Redfall. Curious to think or hear what you thought about that.
Yeah,
I thought it was pretty cool, but
yeah, Yeah, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. Did you have any thoughts on Redfall, or you just want to hear me first?
I want to hear you first. Yeah.
Yeah. It's tough because it was a cinematic only trailer, as most of these were. It looked like a Left 4 Dead or Back 4 Blood type game, but with vampires. But also the players seem to have some sort of powers as well. I don't know. I thought it was really cool. I really like this is a new game. Totally like new reveal. I don't think it was announced at all prior, but new game from Arkane Studios. So the team that makes Dishonored, which is an excellent series that I say hasn't got enough love, but I think it like won a lot of Game of the Year awards and stuff like this when Dishonored 2 came out. So I think people do know about it. But also Prey, which is definitely an overlooked game from a few years ago that is now on Game Pass and has FPS boost and is one of like the best like story-based shooters I've played in quite a few years. But yeah, this four-player co-op looking, it's like the heroes seem to have some sort of powers and the villains are like vampires. It did look really Left 4 Dead like, but I played so much Left 4 Dead, and because of that I'm hyped for Back 4 Blood, and I'm even more hyped for Back 4 Blood because it's on Game Pass, so it means it should be super easy to get friends to play, because nobody has to buy it. Might be too spooky for you, but I'm hoping we can get in, try it a little bit.
It looked like a more fun, less scary zombie game. It did, so yeah, I'm probably fine with it.
Yeah. Well, and it's like, it's by the guy. Did you ever play Left 4 Dead?
Yep.
You did play Left 4 Dead?
Yeah, and not as much as you, but I played enough of it.
Yeah, the same people, so it'll have that. I'm sure it'll have that like campy feeling, and I don't, you know, I never would say that Left 4 Dead ever felt scary.
It's not the same level of of horror game like Stalker 2 looked like it would be.
Definitely,
But either way, the Redfall game I think just looked like a fun, cool vibe. It kind of reminded me of Guardians of the Galaxy a little bit. I think they're using
it opened
a similar
with one
soundtrack.
Of the songs from
But just even in the character mix and dynamic between them, and there's the little robot, and it's just kind of a cool vibe. It looked fun, and the fact that it's exclusive is cool. And on like to build on that too, like the other big exclusive they showed was Starfield, and
we haven't talked about Starfield yet.
Yeah, looks insanely amazing.
Yeah, and we got a release date finally.
Yeah.
So it's too far away. I would like it now, please. But November 11th. So which is the anniversary of Skyrim, actually, also Remembrance Day. November 11th next year. So 2022 will be Starfield's launch.
But it looks phenomenal. And again, another exclusive. It's, you know, there's, I think when Bethesda, because we haven't talked a lot about Bethesda, obviously was a huge focus of this presentation. When the acquisition of Bethesda first happened, there was so much debate about, you know, what that meant for exclusivity.
Totally.
And I think that answer was very clear in this presentation, and that new Bethesda titles will be Xbox only, which obviously is a huge boost to the catalog available for Xbox and to drive you players to the Xbox specifically.
Absolutely.
Over a PlayStation. Because all these games, you know, obviously Elder Scrolls 6, I don't, you know, again, it was a quote unquote up for debate whether that would be exclusive. I don't think there's any question to that.
No,
anymore.
I don't think so now.
Clearly they're going exclusive only, which completely makes sense. I think
when you spend $7 billion on a
company. I think the argument, you know, against that was just, you know, well, they wouldn't cut off that piece of the market. Well, they will.
Totally.
It means that you have to play an Xbox. So they're still going to invest the same amount of effort into the games, which is really exciting. And yeah, Starfield looks so good. It's just cool to see new IP
coming out. New IPs too.
Yeah.
Like I would love I'd love a new Fallout game, but it's as much as I still need to go back to Fallout 76, but to see something like a Fallout or an Elder Scrolls scale game, which I think is what Starfield is set to be, but in a completely new IP, I think is super exciting.
Yeah, exactly. So I think,
and
it's again pushing that narrative that, you know, we actually will have a really good exclusive catalog, because when you compare it to what's been announced for the PS5, the Xbox has way more exclusives announced right now. They have to. I mean, this obviously has a bunch of new ones. It'd be interesting to get a comparison, but you have more visibility to that.
There's not a lot on the PlayStation front at this point, and there's been a bit of controversy on that front lately because, when the 6 months to a year ago when they were starting to get people ready for these consoles, you know, they took very different sides, and Microsoft was very much like, we want to support Xbox One players for as long as we can. And, you know, we see the, you know, we see it as a, we want everyone to play together again, and the whole, like, we don't care where you're playing it as long as you're playing it type thing. Whereas Sony was very much like, we believe in generations, and there are so many things that you can only do on this next generation, and that's very important to us. And so it very much felt like, you know, the PS4 would be transitioned out, and we'd start to see a lot of just PS5 exclusives coming from Sony, Sony Computer, Sony Entertainment, whatever they're called now, PlayStation Studios titles. But just in the past couple of weeks, they've revealed that Horizon Forbidden West is also going to be coming to PS4. That's like the end of this year. But also the games like God of War, which has been delayed until 2022, and games like Gran Turismo 7, which has been delayed until 2022, those games will also be coming on PS4. And so some of the games that were from Microsoft Studios that were announced today for 2022 were announced only for the Xbox Series consoles. So it seems like this company that said that they were moving on is actually like taking more time than the company that said that they were going to support everyone for as long as they can, which is kind of crazy. Well,
and again, if you count the amount of exclusives they talked about today and then combine it with the ones that we touched on that they didn't, like Fable and Elder Scrolls 6, you know, if we jump ahead a couple of years, the picture is pretty favorable for Microsoft and how strong their catalog is going to be in terms of exclusives. It's going to be crazy.
How they're gonna
big
be
name that, exclusives. The one the one thing that stuck out for me, and I don't think I'm the first to point it out, but there still is not that Last of Us type game on the Xbox.
No, there's not.
It just seems like a huge hole in the type of game, you know, Uncharted, Last of Us. You know, I struggle to think of anything coming to Xbox that's in that sort of scale, genre, quality for single player.
I would, you know, and I would say, well, it's not, I would say a Plague Tale is on those lines, but it's not exclusive. And I don't know if the sequel will be exclusive. There's been heavy rumors that Microsoft might acquire Asobo. And if they do, I could absolutely, it would probably be an exclusive, but the first game was not. But yeah, I totally agree. Like
there's a hole in the catalog, you know. It seems very obvious because when you think about the key exclusives on the PS4, that is a unique game style that doesn't seem to be getting filled with all of this huge pile of exclusives coming to the Xbox. There still doesn't seem to be that piece of the puzzle coming for Xbox, which is interesting to me.
Yeah. And I wonder, I mean, I don't know. That's a good point. And that's tough because, I wonder if we will see anything like that coming from any of these companies. You know, even a lot of the stuff that they showed off from some of their newer acquisitions today seem to be like co-op focused or multiplayer. Yeah. And they've always been that big multiplayer company. But yeah, there's a big reason why I, you know, pre-ordered an Xbox One or a Series X the day I could, but also pre-ordered PS5 the day I could. And just like the last generation, like the... you know, I find the Xbox controller more comfortable and the Series X is more powerful. So that's my preferred console for multi-platform games. But there's like, you know, I'm buying the PS5 for the Sony exclusives, for anything Naughty Dog does, for, you know, things like Insomniac, like the fact that I've got the hiccups again. even talking about like, you know, we talk about a year down the line, what's the exclusive, what's the line of exclusives going to look like? But talking about right now, there's literally been nothing on Xbox, and on the PlayStation side, we've got things like Demon's Souls, but we've also got like the Spider-Man game. Like these aren't, I guess, these are platform exclusives, not console exclusives in the term of in the state of Spider-Man, but also things like Ratchet and Clank just dropped. Like we've got a bunch of like games that are got insanely like critical reception that have launched just on the PlayStation platform. And on the Xbox side, there's been the Falconeer, which is about to come to PlayStation as well. And then there's the Medium, which was a series exclusive from a third party, that got like decent reviews, that is now about to head to PlayStation as well. Like there's literally been nothing. And that, from everything we saw today, that is about to change, but it hasn't changed yet.
Well, it's going to change in the number of titles, but I still think when you look at the types of games, there's still a bit of a hole. And there's other exclusives we haven't even talked about. Contraband, they showed a teaser for.
Totally.
Which looked amazing.
Open world co-op.
Yeah, it looks
super cool. Which I'm into. Cool. I wish there were more co-op games versus PvP multiplayer. Like, I'm definitely down to play more co-op games.
Yeah, yeah. But like, I think you're totally right. Super great. But again, it's the multiplayer. Like, where is this story-driven single-player exclusive? Mm-hmm. And maybe Fable or something will be at that level, but it's still not going to be as
Fable's like an open world game too, generally.
Yeah, right. That's what I mean. It's not like that cinematic story,
like this linear cinematic narrative experience that we get from Naughty Dog does.
I don't think they showed that type of game at all today.
I don't think they did really either.
So we covered a lot of it. I'm curious, one more thing that I just wanted to get your feedback or thoughts on were Jack Sparrow. What did you think about that?
Every time I see any Sea of Thieves content, I'm reminded that I need to jump back into it. And some of my best, you know, talking about multiplayer games, some of my best like adult gaming memories have come from Sea of Thieves. And, you know, since we got a second Xbox, Michaela and I have played with friends a couple times, and those nights have been so much fun. This is such a great tie-in. I could not care less about Pirates of the Caribbean, but somehow I found myself excited for this. It sounded like it was his voice too, or someone that could.
I had the same thought. Yeah. It was either an incredibly good impression or it was his voice.
I think that this will turn on, like, Sea of Thieves is so good, and it's come up so far from when it launched too, where it was this, you know, mile wide and an inch deep sandbox where there was, you know, it was so beautiful, but there was nothing to do. I feel like there's so much.
I, unlike you, have not played in years.
Yeah.
And so I actually noted that specifically, and that clearly it's running on the same engine, but other than that, it does not even appear to be the same game that I played a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
So they've obviously made a huge amount of headway in the depth of the game and what you can do.
And they've had
which is really cool.
I
was going to say, this is probably what you're going to say, but this is going to be a driver to get those players who might have tried it a couple of years ago back in and give it a go again and see how much it's grown.
Exactly. Yeah, I think so. And I think that, Pirates of the Caribbean is something that so many people love, whether they're adults or kids. And I think that there's something for everyone in Sea of Thieves, and putting a name on it like, you know, Jack Sparrow and like Pirates of the Caribbean is going to bring so many people to it. This is coming for free next week, or just like 10 days away, June 22nd. They said it's an original story, which is something that Sea of Thieves have added since, you know, in the couple of years the game's come out. There's been, they have like basically like tall tales, they call them, which are these like story missions that you can do, which are usually quite interesting. Sometimes they're time limited. Sometimes they're there all the time. But yeah, this one looked super cool. I will play this, and again, I couldn't care less about Pirates of the Caribbean. But
yeah, I had to know, because it's always the big takeaway when you see Sea of Thieves, just that water. It's the best water, right?
Yeah,
it's the best water ever in a video game. Yeah. It has to
be. And you haven't played it on the Series X yet. It looks amazing on the Series X.
Yeah. So, well, again, speaking from experience, it's going to get me to reinstall and give it a go again, which is pretty cool.
Yeah. I think we've talked about most of stuff I was really interested in. I'd love to go rapid fire on a few more of the things, unless there's anything else that you were excited for that you wanted to dive into.
No, shoot away. I think that covers the main things that kind of stuck out for me.
Yeah. Okay. Age of Empires 4. I'm not an RTS guy. Yeah. This is PC only. You've played some of, you used to play some RTS, right?
I did. Yeah. Oh, quite a bit.
Did you play Age of Empires 3,
Warcraft 2? Oh yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So no, that looked really cool. Very excited to give that a go, and it looks very similar, and there hasn't been a real-time strategy game like that in a long time, so it's quite a while.
Yeah.
So to install something new and give it a go again sounds so fun.
Yeah. And to I don't know, I'm watching this trailer and I'm like, how is this gonna work for consoles? Like, because I feel like the few times I've tried an RTS game on a console, it's always so clunky or it doesn't work. And you know, the revelation is that it's not gonna work on the console at all. It's PC only. Which I think is a great, you know, they could very easily, I'm sure, make it available for Xbox, but the fact that they're not.
No, you're right though. Anytime it's been attempted on a console, it just kind of doesn't really work well.
I remember trying to play like StarCraft on like N64. Or something, and it was that I like rented, and I wasted a rental on that game. I tell you,
yeah,
I had to wait a whole week or something.
It does not translate well to a controller.
Diablo 2 got a release date, September 23rd, 4K 60. It's got cross progression. I think it looks pretty cool. Diablo was like the first computer game I ever played online, and I haven't really played much of it since. So I would absolutely be interested in trying that out. Have you ever played Diablo?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, it looked great.
Yeah, it did look great. Hades, it has been a game that I've heard so much hype about. I think it was a Switch and PC exclusive up until now. Won a ton of Game of the Year awards. Even over, like, in some outlets, like, ranked it over like The Last of Us 2, which was my favorite game last year. It must be good if people are ranking it over something like that. But August 13th, it's coming to Xbox. It's coming on Game Pass. It's going to be really cool, I think. I'm definitely looking forward to trying it out. It's like one of those like roguelike games where it's kind of like you're repeating the same content until you die, which seems, I don't know, I don't have a lot of patience or time, I feel like. And so those games have always like, I'm like, why would you play this? But people freaking love it. And people that have never played the genre love it, so I am definitely interested in getting into that. Elder Scrolls Online, which is hopefully not going to start ruling my life again, because I would like to play some other games. But you know, we did an episode, you and I, year and a half ago or something, for the Elder Scrolls Online for the Xbox Game Passengers podcast, and we both really, really enjoyed it, and we're like, let's keep playing this game together, and then never did again. But yeah, and I don't know why, but I had so much fun with it. And in just a couple of days, it's getting the Xbox Series S and Series X updates as well. So it should look a lot better, which is great. I like pretty things. So Fallout 76. Yeah, Fallout 76. Sorry, you can jump in if you have anything as well. I'm just trying to.
I'm sure you're going to cover the ones I'm going to shout out on, but if not, I'll make sure.
Okay. I'm going to do Fallout 76 and then I'll let you take a few, okay?
Sure.
Fallout 76, I need to get back into this game. New content coming out. It's the Steel Reign expansion. It looks like there's a bit of a civil war between some of the Brotherhood of Steel factions. I haven't played any of the Brotherhood of Steel content yet, so I'm really would be excited to see that. That game, you know, they actually revealed or stated during this presentation that it's now one of the most played games on Game Pass. So, you know, to see how far this game that was kind of panned at launch has come, and how much effort that they've put into like kind of redeeming it. You know, ever since the Wastelanders expansion dropped, it seems like everyone's liking it a lot more now. They also revealed there's a new type of content coming out starting in 2022 called Fallout 76 Expeditions. And so they're actually, there was an area in Fallout 3, it was DLC called The Pit. And so they've revealed The Pit as an expedition for Fallout 76. No details. It was kind of after the, you know, it was a tiny, tiny teaser after the Steel Reign stuff. So I'm sure we'll hear more about it soon, but I am super excited for that.
Yeah, I think two other just worth calling out that looked pretty cool was the game Grounded. I haven't tried yet, but it's got a bit of hype, and they had a cool expansion coming out. They announced called Shroom and Doom. It looked fun.
That was a pretty funny trailer too.
It was a good trailer. It was pretty humorous, and I thought that looked pretty cool and intriguing. And then the other one was the game Replaced. 2.5 sort of art style. It's again another Xbox exclusive.
Yeah.
I thought that looked amazing to me. The way that they had merged sort of the 2D art style with 3D stuff. It just looks really good to me.
It looks
so
unique. The
music was so good, and the trailer was just, I don't know. Everything about that was super intriguing to me. I hadn't heard anything about it, and I thought it looked awesome.
Yeah. That one's a 2022 Game Pass game. But yeah, it had this like old school like 8 or 16 bit like style, but with like modern like lighting and reflections, and like this weird like not weird, but this, it looked very deep. There was a lot of depth to what we were seeing as well. I thought that looked really cool.
I just thought the art, I don't know, some games you see and they just they look so unique, and this is one of those games.
Totally, I agree.
So other than that, I think that pretty much covers all the main stuff.
Battlefield, you used to be a Battlefield guy.
Well, that was definitely on my notes, but Battlefield is, you know, received so much hype over the last week anyways.
This was the first real gameplay we got to see from it, though.
Well, it looked amazing. And you're right, I used to play Battlefield probably more than any other game.
You just watch Flight Simulator videos.
Yeah, well, getting old will do that to you. it looked phenomenal. Looked really good. What were your thoughts on it?
I thought it looked really cool. I thought it looked So they are supporting 128 players. Is that new for the series, or have older games supported that many people that you know of?
I'm pretty sure the last one did.
It did. 128 player, like, because rumor wise, there's not going to be a campaign or a battle royale mode. 128 players is more than a lot of battle royale support. So that's huge. I feel like you would need a pretty massive map to support that as well.
Yeah, for sure.
These games have pretty big maps.
Yes, they do. Much bigger than COD or anything like that. They're pretty huge.
Like, are they like Warzone map sized?
No. Maybe the small Warzone map.
Okay. The like battle that they showed in the trailer was pretty epic, and I don't know, there were so many vehicles and so much like chaos everywhere. It was like one of those things where I was like, how the hell do you know what to
that
do?
That was my first takeaway in the trailer. There was so much going on.
Yeah.
It looked a bit chaotic, but it looks fantastic for sure. And obviously a huge range of vehicles, like always with the franchise.
Totally.
So
yeah, it was like half of that trailer, I feel like, was vehicle stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Not a Game Pass game. It was one of the few that they showed off that wasn't on Game Pass. Of course, with EA Play as part of the Game Pass Ultimate, it will have like that 10-hour trial you'll be able to play, though.
Well, and at some point it will be.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah, it's usually like, feels like it's like 6 months to a year, depending on the game, before it is in the EA Play vault, at which point it'll be, as long as EA Play continues to be a part of Game Pass, which I have to imagine that's a long-term thing, you know, you'll get it at that point as well. But
for sure.
Could be worth a buy. Yeah, could be worth a buy. It's funny, like, again, going back to like, they showed off so many games today, and pretty much everyone, I was like, I would play that. Of all of them that they showed off, only three we would have to buy, which seems
that's
crazy. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and it means that you can play games that maybe you wouldn't have otherwise, because you're not going to buy 27 games. But
I mean, I might have to buy a lot of games.
Well, you're not the norm.
I didn't play them. I just purchased them.
Yeah, you collected them.
I did, yeah. And then traded them in for a tenth of what I bought them for. Sometimes sealed.
Still. I was going to say still in their seal.
Yeah, plastic. Yeah, it was, you know, I'm glad that I've mostly broken that habit.
Good on you on that one.
Yeah, it was a good show, though. I was really...
It was.
Got
me hyped up. Made me realize that I don't have enough time in my life to enjoy all these wonderful creations that are coming.
Yeah. Well, and it's funny because it's almost to the point where when a game that I'm looking forward to gets delayed these days, I'm like, oh, thank goodness. Like, like, I don't have to worry about it for that much longer now. So it's a weird spot to be in. But yeah, it really seems like, I don't know, the first 6 months or so of the Xbox for sure, but to a lesser extent, the PlayStation, it really feels like that lull of new games is coming to a close. And just looking at the stuff that's coming to some of these already released games, but also some of the games that are coming out just over the next few months.
Well, and Phil touched on it right at the end that, you know, at a certain point pretty soon, they're going to have a pretty major release every month.
Yeah.
Which I think will be a big shift in, you know, like you said, how it feels and the lull that has been around for the last little while.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. And even, I don't know, I can't wait for Forza Horizon. That feels so close. Well, and that's November, but Halo is also holiday, like, those could be two massive, massive releases within like a month of each other.
Yeah, which can only, I mean, holiday sales are going to be crazy. Not that they,
I mean, if they can,
couldn't
if
sell
they,
every single console they would, were making already, but.
Yeah, I was going to say if they can get any in stock, that is for sure.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Cool. Well, I think, I don't know, there's been so much stuff. Obviously, the show is up for full in 4K on YouTube and on Twitch and probably a couple of other places as well, but those are the only ones people actually use.
Yeah, now we got to stop recording and go back and rewatch a bunch of.
I know.
The show.
I'm definitely gonna watch. I'm definitely gonna watch the Horizon one again. That said, though, there's also, you know, there's other E3 stuff today too. I'm really looking forward to seeing what Square Enix talks about. Mostly Life is Strange and whatever else they do. I don't know. Maybe they'll talk about Avengers. People are still playing that, I think, in some cases. I don't know. There's so much content over the next few days, and it's hard to know what to focus on. But yeah, I'm excited for more. I'm excited for the next while in Xbox for sure. Thanks for coming along and talking to me about it.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I really enjoy doing this with you when I get time. And
yeah, absolutely.
And this was a big one.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Yeah, so cool to just be able to watch it and then break it down. And it was a much bigger show than I thought it was going to be. So there's
100%
too much stuff to talk about in any detail, unless, you know, we want to be here for 4 hours. And at that point they could just watch the show twice. So.
Exactly.
Cool. Well, that is it for this episode of Xbox Game Passengers. Check us out. First of every month is when you'll typically get an episode. There's a special episode for the E3 Microsoft Bethesda press conference. For more from E3, you'll want to check out the Geekscape Games podcast, which will pop up this Thursday for a breakdown of everything else that we saw and liked at E3. Enjoy your week. We'll talk to you soon on Geekscape Games. Thanks again, John.
Thank you so much for having me.
Awesome. Bye-bye.
Bye.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network. You're listening to the Geekscape Network.